Heard a little bit from Rabbi Bamberger because we had that voice note that explained to us who Rav Aaron Schachter was prior to visiting Rav Aaron Schachter. Just to give a bit of a sense, I had the special service over the 3 years that I was in Lander College to spend a few hours every morning sitting right next to Rabbi Bamberger, and I got to see a sort of a front row seat into what an ideal mashgiach of a yeshiva should be, because it's a very difficult job. Because on the one hand, you have to be a talmid chacham, otherwise the rebbeim don't respect you. On the other hand, you have to be someone who's a pikeach to understand the problems that the talmidim are having, and to understand how to be mechazik them and learning, and to understand the ruach of kol echad ve'echad, to be able to guide each and every one of the talmidim who are coming from a variety of different places and different madregas, and at the same time to continue your own spiritual growth and achievement and accomplishments. And it was one of the great special zechuyos of my life to be able to see that from close up, and Bez Hashem to continue that kesher and that friendship even after I'm no longer in Lander College. And it's a very big zechus for us that Rabbi Bamberger made the shlech to be able to share with us some Divrei Torah this evening. And I just want to express Hakar Satov to him for making the effort to be here this evening.
It's also a great schus for me to be here, to be in the base medrash that Rabbi Leibowitz's ruach permeates, and the steiging that I just saw in the last 10 minutes really speaks to your commitment to Torah, but it also speaks to your Rebbe's amazing hashpa. I too, when Rabbi Leibowitz was in Lander, it was an amazing experience. To get to talk to him in learning very often, and Sifas Chulin, Tamid Chachamim, that's him, not me, and we miss him greatly in Lander, and it's not the same without him, of course, but Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is the beneficiary. So Rabbi Leibowitz did mention that I made the schlep, and it's true, I did make quite a schlep. I drove out here. My daughter came with me. She's sitting in the car. Hope she's okay. But we made a three-hour journey with a lot of traffic, and then and I came up here really, besides to see my good friend and to share some Torah, I came here to share a single Rashi with you, just one short Rashi. And if I present it properly, then I think the whole trip back and forth is worthwhile. It's a Rashi in this week's Parsha. I don't know how many of you have a Chumash in front of you, but it's Kedaita, if you do have a Chumash, to open it up. It's in Perek Aleph and Devarim Aleph Chaf Beis. It's a very nondescript Rashi. I didn't see any Mefarshim say anything about this Rashi, but it just, as I was being Mavir Sedra this week, it just like struck me that I think there's a tremendous chiddush that Rashi is teaching us, and it's so nageya to every one of our lives. So Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, and he's saying about the Meraglim. And he says, "Vatayimru nishlocha anashim lefaneinu," let's send men in front of us, "v'yachru lanu es haaretz," to spy out the land, "V'yashiva isanu davar," and they'll return word, they'll give us some, we'll debrief them, we'll find out what's exactly taking place in Eretz Yisrael. "Es haderech asher na leba," and let's find out the road on which we could climb up. What's the road that we're going to be able to ascend to Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi says, "Ein derech she'ein ba akmimus." There's no road that has no crookedness to it. Now, what is this Rashi saying? What does it mean? So, if you look in the Maral, in the Gerarie, he says that what it means is that they They didn't have Waze in those days. They weren't able to see exactly what the straightest path to get into Eretz Yisrael was. So I'm sending out Meraglim, I'm sending out spies to be able to determine what's the straightest way to get there. I don't want to go on a snake path to get into Eretz Yisrael. I want to try to find the way that's the straightest. Ein derech she'ein bach mimus, and there is no road that's perfectly, that has no crookedness in it. And so let's find the road with the least amount of crookedness. Let's find the straightest path that we can find. There's no perfect path. There's always going to be crookedness, but let's try to find the path that's the smoothest, straightest path to get into Eretz Yisrael. That's the simple understanding how the Maral understands this Rashi. I wanted to perhaps look at Rashi a little bit differently with a Musar Daher, with a Musar approach. The Pasuk is saying that we want to find out as HaDerech Asher Na'aleba, what's the way that we could ascend? What's the way that we could steig? What's the way that we're going to be able to grow? That's the existential question that we are all asking ourselves every day. How do I steig? How am I going to succeed in learning? How am I going to succeed in life? How am I going to be a Talmud Chacham, a Ben Taira, a Bal Musar, somebody that is responsible, somebody that's a good person? How am I going to do that? Where am I going to be able to find the Derech Asher Na'aleba, the path that I could ascend on? And Rashi says, you know what the path that you'll steig on is? You know the way to be able to ascend to be Yaleh Bahar Hashem? Ein derech she'ein ba'ak mimus. The knowledge that there is no road in life at all, that there is no akmimus, that there is no crookedness. There's no such thing in life as a straight path. If you're looking for that perfect path to ascend to the promised land of your life, it's not going to happen. Only once a person recognizes that there's no path without crookedness, every path has crookedness to it. As soon as that person understands that, now you have the key to steigen. Now you have the key to ascending that mountain that we are all desirous to climb. Once you realize that there will be crookedness in my journey, in my ascent. You were zeicha yesterday to see the Rashi of Chaim Berlin. It's a tremendous book. And Rav Huttner was his rabbi. He was a Talmud Mubak of Rav Huttner, the great Rav Huttner. Asher mipivanu Chaim. Rav Huttner was mamish. If anyone ever studied, a lot of you I heard are in Shalabim. I know Rabbi Waxman is very into Pachad Yitzchaks, and it's very, very, it's beautiful Torah. Beautiful Torah. There's nothing like it really out there that I know of. And he has a letter. The best svarim of the Pachad Yitzchak is really, there's a volume of Igor Siksovim, the letters of the Pachad Yitzchak, and there's a very famous letter in which a Talmud wrote to him and confided in his Rosh Hashiva that I am very, very depressed. I thought I'd be a gadol, but I messed up. Now, we don't know exactly what he did. It doesn't really matter. You could pick your own garden variety of averus that you want, that you could think that maybe he did. But he felt very, very despondent that he would not be able to be a gadol. He thought himself as being on that path. And all of a sudden he found akmimus. He found that there was that he fell, he stumbled, he found a little bit of a crookedness on his journey, and he was very, very hurt and very disappointed in his own, how could I do that? And Rav Huttner writes him possibly the most famous of all Rav Huttner's letters, and he says the following. He says that you are making a very big mistake, and I'm disappointed that after being a Talmud of mine for so long, you don't understand this. But he says, people make a mistake, and they think that the only way that you become a gadol is by sitting al mei menuchais, by sitting on, you sit a poolside with a pina colada in one hand and a Reb Chaim in the other hand, And that's the perfect, when there's a perfect situation that everything is fine in my life, I have no tension, I have no problems, I have no averus, I have no nisyanus, everything is perfect, that's when I'm going to be able to shteik. But the second that anything gets a little bit out of order in my life, that then everything is tossed to the wayside. I can't do anything. Rav Huttner says that it's precisely when a person stumbles and falls on his way that he's perhaps closest to attaining his godless, because we only learn about ourselves and we only learn about how to prevent future averus through failure. Failure is the best Rebbe in life because it teaches you how to succeed. If you never failed at anything, that's not a good thing. You need to fail at things in life in order to shake you up a little bit and to say, okay, this is not the right thing for me to do. I gotta change, I gotta improve. Rav Huttner says something that I think he got into a little trouble for, because I saw once an editorial in one of the Israeli newspapers that took this letter to task because he said something that was, I guess, maybe like the third rail of, in Eretz Yisrael at least. He said that, who knows, he says, everybody like lionizes the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was Kadosh Mirechem, he was holy from birth, and he says, who knows how many stumblings the Chafetz Chaim had to go through, how many challenges, how many perhaps violations of Shmiras HaLashon he had to have in order to become the Chafetz Chaim. It just didn't fall on his lap that he was perfect, he worked on himself. And that's what made him great. And they didn't like that because you don't mess with the Chafetz Chaim. You know, Chafetz Chaim is a league of his own. But this is what Rav Huttner says. That's better. Rav Huttner said that the Chafetz Chaim himself had stumblings, and those failures were what made him the Chafetz Chaim. And then Rav Huttner says the famous line about the pasuk and Mishlei that we're all familiar with, because there's svarim about it, there's songs about it. Sheva yipal tzaddik become. A tzaddik falls down seven times and he gets up. So he says, the tipshim, the fools, understand this pasuk when they learn. And they're saying that, oh, a tzaddik is resilient. He falls down seven times, but he still manages to dust himself off and get up and continue his journey. He says, that's wrong. The chachamim say, you know what it means, this pasuk? This pasuk means that precisely because the tzaddik fell seven times, that's where his kima comes from. His ascent, the ability for him to rise and to grow and to become great, comes precisely because he fell seven times, but then he was able to learn from his mistakes, improve on his ways, make resolutions, make kabbalas, but grow. I want to just touch on a few points where this is nageya for B'nai Torah. This concept of never giving up, and a lot of times we want to give up. A lot of times we're not as matzliach as we thought we would be. But this vart, esaderach asher naleba, ein derach shein ba'akmimas, to know that every road has crookedness, that's part of life. Life is not a perfect road. If you think it's perfect, then you're not in life. Life is a lot of challenges, a lot of nisyanos, but those nisyanos don't in any way derail your journey. They are the journey. When it comes to learning, I mean, I'm sure this is, if you're masmidim, I didn't know what chevra I was speaking to, but I see that maybe this is not so nageya, but a lot of bachrim and yeshivas, I don't think it's a secret, they feel a lot of yush. They feel that I'm not steiging, or my friends are doing so much better than me. And I don't know, I'm at this age, I don't know this taisis, I don't know this gemara, I don't know how to make a laning, I don't know how to chazer well, I don't have a system of... So there was a bachur in Eretz Yisrael that was very depressed because he felt that all his peers were, you know, they always got the Rebbe's kasha, the Rebbe's teretz, the Rebbe's the whole shir, and they understood it right away, and from the Maror Mekaymes they were able to construct already what the whole shir was going to be about, and he was like feeling, you know, very low about himself, and to the degree that he really wanted to just leave learning. And his Rebbe took him to the stipler, And because that the stifler was the first and last address of any Ben Tyra that had any issues. The stifler made time for him. And the Rebbe explained to the stifler that this boy is, Marash Chara, he's like very depressed, he's very despondent, he feels he's not steiging, and, you know, he's taka a little weak, but he, you know, he's still a good boy, he's learning, he's trying his best. The stifler looks at him and says, I want to tell you something. I am willing right now to take a shvua d'iraisa. I will swear on a d'iraisa level that when you are learning, you, with all of your challenges and with all of your hardships, with all the difficulties, when you're learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'pamalia shel mala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven, shushes the malachim. He says, I don't want to hear any singing now. I don't want to hear any talk. I don't want to hear any praise. I am listening to Chaim learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up on us, and we can never give up on ourselves. Any challenge that we have to our learning is the Yetzer Hara. If we think that we're not learning, the Stifler has a famous letter. He says that people, it's all gaiva, that we think that we have to be equal to our peers. Everyone's different. I find that generally the boys that are the weakest sometimes, but they try hard, they're the ones that are very matzliach. I had a boy in Yeshiva Talmud years ago in the early years of Lander, and I wish I had brought it, but not him, what I'm about to tell you. But when he came to Yeshiva, he came from a Baal Tshuva Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He did not know what side of the daf was Rashi and what side was Taisus, let alone how to read Rashi and Taisus. He was the weakest boy in Yeshiva. But he came to everything. He was the first by davening an hour early, trying his best, learning, whatever I gave, whatever the other Rabbeim gave, Shir Klali, Shabbos, Yom Tov, he was there. He was always in the zone. And then he got married, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And a couple of years later, maybe 7 years later, I got in the mail a package from Eretz Yisrael from him. I said, wow, it's so nice that he sent me a sefer. You know, you could feel already in the package. It's a sefer, like a very thick sefer. I opened it up. I said, wow, it's beautiful. Isser v'hefter, and he inscribed it even to me. And then I opened the shar blot, the front page of the sefer, and it has his name on it. Within a short amount of time, within 8 years, this boy went from not knowing anything to writing a very chashuv sefer on Isser v'hefter with Haskamas from all the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael. I don't know how he pulled it off. I don't know how he did it. But there's never a way to be miyayish, because if you think that you're not going to be matzliach, you're wrong. The Torah is different than any other studies. If I'm not good at math, I'm probably not going to win a Nobel Prize for mathematics. There's a very slim chance of that happening. Torah is very different. Torah, if you apply yourself and you give it your all, and you daven trisyat d'shmaya, you will be matzliach. The stifler said in that letter, he says, every amud gemara that you learn is hatzlocha. Every rashi that you learn, even the smallest rashis, and you know, and you understand, your chazer is hatzlocha. Tais is hatzlocha. So when it comes to learning, you should never, ever be miyash. Don't expect a straight, smooth path. And if you have any difficulties, understand that that's all part of life. That's the Derech Asher Na'aleba. I want to share with you a story about davening. Davening is also, a lot of us have yish, because when we daven, then we don't feel like we're matzliach. We don't have kavana, and we know we have to have kavana, you know, for the Pirush Hamilim, for the first bracha, and that we're Amin L'fnei Melech for the entire Shemoneh Esrei. But it's very hard. You only remember that Reb Chaim, like when you're up to Mechaya Mesim. You don't remember it by the first bracha, right? The Yetzer Hara gets you every time. So listen to this story. Am I like very late already?
No, how much?
Okay, good. So listen to this. Really, what you're gonna love this story. There's a do you know Barry Gavron? He had children in DRS. So two boys in DRS. So he's a Talmud of mine. The father, he comes to my shir on Wednesday nights. He's a wonderful person, and he grew up in Boston, in Brookline, and Brookline, Massachusetts, where the Rav lived. And he davened in my Maimonides school, which is where the Rav used to daven every Shabbos. And he said it was an amazing experience. It was amazing. every Friday night after davening was over, so the Rav was escorted by like a whole group of these brilliant people. You know, they're all from MIT and Harvard and Boston U, and they're all, you know, doctors and lawyers, PhDs, professors, and they were like escorting him, and like they were talking about the Rambam and Ruma Shalaylam. And then there was a point that as they were walking, you know, when one person got to his house, he said, Gachavis, he left. So at one point in this road, and there was like these curvy hills to get to, it was a very tony area that they were living in, and at one point, it was just him and the Rav every Friday night. He walked the Rav, the last leg of that journey, to a house on the top of a hill. And he told me, I hope this isn't Lashon Hara, but he said that, he says, what did I know? I never really knew what to talk to the Rav about. You know, here's this towering giant, and I'm escorting him home. So we spoke about Narishkeit. I was majoring in high school in girls and sports. That's all I knew about. I didn't know from anything. What am I talking to the Rav about? But, you know, now he has Charat, and now he's a Ben Tera, he's learning, he's studying, he could talk to him about anything. But at the time, it was, you know, that he grew up a very, very, you know, he says, there's one conversation that I did have with him, because I was trying to, like, draw out of him, like, tell me something, you gotta give me something. So he said, one time he was walking with the Rav on a Friday night, and they stopped, like, in front of the Rav's house. And he said, the Rav asked him, is there anything you want to talk about, maybe religiously? He says, there's one thing that bothers me. He says, the davening, I don't have kavana. He says, every time I try to daven a Shemayna Esrei, I try to have kavana, and I can't muster any kavana. Just like poof, like my whole brain just freezes, and I just, by the next thing I know, I'm making Eisei Shalom. Like, I'm not able to, what do I do? So this is the Lashon that he remembers the Rav saying to him. I have the same problem, he said. If I have proper kavana, even once out of 100 tefillos, I feel as if I'm doing well. It's an amazing thing. You know, you think that, I heard from Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach, I didn't hear from him, I heard, shame him, that his kabbalah for Rosh Hashanah is he's going to try to have kavana in the first bracha of Shemayna Esrei. It's a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. Don't feel bad. If you're not able to muster kavana, you should try. Obviously, we all have to try. And if you're able to be metzliach and you don't understand what I'm talking about, then you're very, very good. But never think that it's an easy path. There's a lot of resistance on every path in life that's worthwhile. If it's Torah, if it's tefillah, there's always resistance. But that is what makes you great. When you fight that resistance and you work hard, that's exactly when you're going to taste what godless is. There's, of course, the most deadly type of yish that we feel is the yish that we feel when we do averas. And, you know, whatever your avera is, whatever the thing is that you feel guilty about, there is reason to say, okay, you know, I'm not doing well. This isn't good. I have a lot of challenges in certain things, and I feel like I'm not a Ben Tera. So, whatever you do in life, you have to always remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want people to feel guilty. Guilt is good a little bit. If you can keep it very, you know, you have charata, that's okay in a very small amount. But more than that, Revolvi writes in a letter that he has a Kabbalah from Chazon Ish. And I always tell the guys to take this letter that I show you and shrink it and keep it in your wallet. And Lacha Me'avetz, when you bring it to Shammai, if you ever have problems. Because there's like certain Aveiros that I'm not going to discuss. But averus that if you look in the Svarim and the Musar Svarim, you know, it tells you basically you're finished, you're fried, you know, Gehenim and terrible things. So Revolvi writes to a boy that was very plagued by these fears, and he said that I have a Kabbalah from the Chazon Ish, and it's money in the bank, he said, that if you did that avera, and then you feel bad that you did it, but then you go and learn besimcha, you learn Torah b'simcha, he says, there will be no trace of that Aveira in Olam Amos. Aye, but the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and this and that, you look in these farms, you want to, I don't know. The Chazon Ish said not that way. That's not our Messiah. The Chazon Ish said that you could just feel bad a little bit so that you don't repeat it and you learn from mistakes, Shavu Yipol Tzalti Bekam, but then you go on and you shteig and you're happy to learn, you learn with a simcha. That's the greatest kapara, he said, in order to atone for that Aveira. I once went to a Talmud of mine. He had a brother that had a lot of issues, a lot of difficulties in life, and he died young. And I went to the Levaya, it was in Borough Park. And I was sitting next to the Talmud throughout the Hasvedim, and he was very broken. And one of the Masvedim said that he got a letter in the mail just a few weeks before this person died. And it said that he was like learning, he wasn't like really so firm at the time, but he was learning, and he says he was very inspired by Ashrei. For some reason, the Kapito, Ashrei was something that he felt very close to. And that was it. There was no elaboration, but it was just they were trying to show how he had still like, some Jewishness to him. And I didn't understand why, what was special about Ashrei. This is a true story. So I was walking from the funeral home in Borough Park, and I was walking past a Yid's house. I was walking like to my car. There was an old Yid that was coming out of his house with a cane, and he tripped. He was a chashuv Yid, like from the Amalog Yid, like the old timers. He fell on the floor, and I ran to get him and to pick him up, and he was muttering something while I was picking him up. And I listened to what he was saying, and he kept saying, "Seimech Hashem l'chal anayflem v'zaykev l'chal akfufim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives support to everybody that falls. And I felt like this was a sign, like this is what Ashrei did for this person. When you're falling in life, you have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never abandons us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly with us. He's helping us. He's supporting us. He's being taimich us. But a person has to remember that, even in the darkest of moments. Even in the darkest of moments, a person can never have yish. You always have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Don't give up. You can never give up on life. Everything has to be with a simcha, with a geshmak. You have Torah. You have tefillah, you have rabbeim, you have yerushamayim. There's so much. It's so geshmak to be a yid, but there are hard times. There are hard times in life. But even during the hard times, that's maybe when we could appreciate most our efforts and our resolve to be great. Tisha B'Av is just a few days away, and Tisha B'Av is itself something that speaks to what we're talking about. Because Tisha B'Av is the darkest day of the calendar. It's the day that everybody can't wait to have behind. Nobody wants to fast. Nobody wants to sit on the floor and say kinnis. Nobody wants to cry. Everybody wants to just move to Shabbos Nachamu already. But Tisha B'Av is really a day that has greatness in it. The greatness of Tisha B'Av lies in the fact that we are at such a low point, and from the lowness, from the Sheva Yipal Tzadik, we know that there's going to be a tremendous kima. Every time that somebody I meet tells me that they're depressed about something, I said, if you had a bad day today, you should just wait and brace yourself because tomorrow is going to be great. Today was just you had to go through whatever you had to today, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you such bracha from those clouds. You're going to find such rain and such gishmei bracha that you're going to be so happy tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Tisha B'Av is a day that is going to be a yantif. That's why we don't say tachanun on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day that we're going to have one day a yantif on Tisha B'Av. It's going to be a tremendous yantif. Tisha B'Av is the day, the Arizal says, that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. Mashiach's name is Menachem, and that is He is the Nechama. Mashiach will bring the Nechama. The Nechama comes from Tisha B'Av. any time that we feel low, you should know that Yeshua is about to arrive. And I think that's the pshat in this Rashi. The Rashi that says, "Es haderech asher nalabo." What's the way that I shtayg? I want to shtayg. I feel like I need to shtayg. What's going on with me? So Rashi says, "Ein derech she'ein bakmimus." The way to shtayg is constantly remember that there's no path in life that's perfect. There's no path that's straight and well paved without any cracks, without any bumps, without any way to fall. You're going to fall in life. It's inevitable. If you're human, you're going to fail and you're going to fall. But anyone that is successful in life will tell you that the only way they became successful is through many, many failures. Sometimes you see a guy, he's super successful, he's multimillionaire, and you think, wow, this guy's really lucky. You speak to him a little bit. Ask him, like, if it just was like the first time that he tried a business, that he never, cannot never, unless he inherited the business, it never happens that it's the first time. He failed, he went bankrupt, he borrowed and he owes money to 100 people, and then he paid it all back, and he found another way to do it, a different, and he became successful from his failures. Failure is the secret to success in life. It's the stepping stone to attain. That journey to the promised land comes through the failures that we have. We don't brag about our failures, but if you're personally ever experiencing either past, present, or future, any form of akmimus in life, you should know that that's the derech asher na'alabo. Thank you very, very much for your time, and you should all be zeicha to have a meaningful tainus, and Mirza Hashem, this tainus should be one that we celebrate as a mayid. It should be converted, it should be nepach l'mayid, l'yam taivim, and l'anu l'chal Yisrael, it should be zeicha to be together in Yerushalayim HaBenuya.
Thank you so much.